So we're holding on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of discussing something which we haven't yet related back to our Mishnah, but now we're going to do so. Our Mishnah had talked about that if a person has a child or sibling from a goyish mother, or from a mother who's a goyta or shifcha, then they're not considered to be his child or his sibling lahalacha. So if a man has a brother from such a thing where his father had relations with a goyter or with a shifcha, then that's not considered his brother in terms of chalitza or yibum. So if that's his only brother, for example, then there's no zika. And vice versa, if a person has a child from a goyter or from a shifcha, then it's not considered his child. So if he has no other children, then his wife is going to need chalitza or yibum. So now we started a discussion which we're going to relate back to that, where when a person, the Torah tells us a man's not allowed to have relations with his sister, and the Torah also tells us that he's not, and the Torah specifies it means whether it's a sister from his mother's side or from his father's side, and then a couple of psukim later, it says also that he's not allowed to have relations with the daughter of his father's wife. So we're in the middle of discussing a machloikas from Yosef of Yehuda and the Chachamim. What happens if she's both? What happens if she's, what happens if his father and mother are married and they had a child, or were married and they had a daughter, and then the son has relations with her? So Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda says he's chayiv only on the grounds of that she's a sister, meaning that if it was b'shergig, he's only bringing one chat, that's not two. And the Chachamim disagree and say that in that case, he'd be chayav two chatois, one because she's his sister, and the other one because she's his father's wife's daughter. So we said, the last thing we said, so we're discussing how each of them would darshan the different circles. So now, the Gemara says, "V'Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Bas Eishes Avicha Mai Ovidlei." Now, we said you have two psukim, one that says, "Eres Achoischa Bas Avicha Oy Basimecha," and another one that says, "Eres Bas Eishes Avicha." So what is Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda doing with those words, Bas Eishes Avicha Mai Ovidlei? What are you doing with them? The Chachamim say that it means the earlier pasuk is talking about, for example, where it's a sister from that his parents were not married. It was a rape, it was a seduction or whatever, something outside of marriage. And then Bas Eishes Avicha is talking about when they are married, and the Chacham say that means that he's chayev on both grounds. But Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda, who holds that he's chayev only on the grounds of Achoisa in both cases, so according to him, what are we doing with Bas Eishes Avicha? So the answer is, he uses it to teach us, Mishi Yeshle Ishus La'Avicha Ba, that this whole thing only applies only if your father, good morning, Aaron, only if your father would have had the ability to have issues, to have a marital relationship with her. So therefore, it comes to exclude. So Bas Eishes Avicha, he says, doesn't mean that they actually have to be married. It means that potentially they could have gotten married. As opposed to where the mother is a shivcha or a goita, she'ein ishus la'avicha ba, where then the father could not have had any kind of marital relationship with her, because there's no kiddushin, not only kiddushin are not toifas, we're going to talk about that soon as far as chayav krisis, but goyim and avodim and shvachas are completely excluded from the whole concept of marriage in halacha, or at least of marriage between them and a Jew. So the pasuk is telling us that only if the sister is Bas Eishes Avicha, the daughter of somebody who conceivably could have been your father's wife, only then are you chayav for her as your sister, but not if she was born from a goyta or from a shifcha. So that's how this relates to our Mishnah, which is why the Gemara is bringing this sugya over here. So the Gemara says, the aim of Pratla Choseh Me'anusa. How do you know? Maybe it means that Davka, the parents, have to have been married, as opposed to if the father raped the mother or otherwise had a relationship with her outside of marriage. B'chalal, many times, obviously, whenever we talk about these kinds of things of a relationship outside of marriage, obviously it can be oinus, it can be pitui, where he seduced her, it can be any of a number of possible things. It seems for some reason the Gemara seems to like using the expression anusa, maybe just because of shorthand, or maybe because the Gemara doesn't want to unnecessarily have to entertain the notion that a Jewish woman would willingly go along with such a thing, which pitui, after all, means that both of them like the idea. So therefore, as as bad as Oynas is, maybe it prefers to use that because at least it indicates that she tried to avoid it and wasn't able to, as opposed to when she also agreed to it outside of marriage. Anyway, so how do you know, says the Gemara, maybe Bas Eishes Avicha means that only if the parents were married, only then is the sister also on the grounds of Bas Eishes, and otherwise not. And the answer is Ahilo Motis Amrit. You can't possibly say that mid the Rava, based on what Rava says. The Rava Rami, Rava pointed out a contradiction between Psukim, also in the section about Arayas. Ksiv Ervas Bas Vincha Ervas Vitcha Loitzegale. The Pasuk says you're not allowed to have relations with your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. Now, the implication would seem to be Ha Bas Bna Dido Vas Vita Dido Shari. So the implication would seem to be your own grandchildren are an erva to you, but your wife's grandchildren, if they're not your own grandchildren, if she has a child from a previous marriage, would not be considered an erva on the face of it. But then it also says a few psukim later that you're not allowed to have relations with a mother and her daughter or a mother and her granddaughter. So how do you reconcile it? Kan ba'onsin, kan b'nisuin. It depends whether we're talking about that there was oynes or whether there was an actual marriage. So, in other words, if Reuven has relations with Rachel, then it depends. If he married Rachel, then that's what the second pasuk is talking about, and saying that her granddaughters are also an heir to him. On the other hand, if he didn't marry Rachel, if he had a relationship with her outside of marriage, then her grandchildren are mutter to him because she's not ishtacha. But the point would be, when it comes to his own grandchildren, it doesn't matter. Even though his own children or his own grandchildren were born from oinsin, nevertheless, they're considered his children and his grandchildren. So therefore, by the same token, so applying the same logic to a sister, we can say the same thing. She's considered a sister whether she was born from oynes or from an actual marital relationship. Either way, she's his sister, and therefore, so you can't possibly say that bas eishes avicha is coming to exclude where she was born from rape. Okay, the Gemara says the aim of prat l'chayvei lavin. So maybe say that bas eishes avicha. Again, we're still trying to figure out according to Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda, what is bas eishes avicha, coming to add if the Torah already says a few psukim earlier that achoscha is off limits. So maybe bas eishes avicha means that it only applies only if the parents were allowed to be married completely and not if there was chayvei lavin. So let's say, for example, his father married a mamzeres and has a daughter. Maybe she's not considered a sister. Papa answers, no, you can't say that because chayvei lavin taksi behu kiddushin, because the fact is that kiddushin are toifus in chayvei lavin. It's true, for example, that a regular yid is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. Nevertheless, if he does, kiddushin are toifus. And it would require a get. So therefore, you can't say that a child born from such a relationship should not be considered your sibling. Dichtiv, and we know that because the pasuk says kisiyena leish shtei nashim. If a man, the Torah describes a case where a man has two wives, ha'achas avuva va'achas snua. One is beloved and one is hated. And the psukim go on to describe that the hated one has the firstborn son. So then the Torah says you can't disinherit him in favor of his brothers, even though you didn't like his mother. You still have to give him the double portion. So now we have to figure out, does it mean in the literal sense that you love that you love one of the wives more than the other? After all, what do you mean? Well, we're talking about beloved or hated in front of Hashem. In other words, obviously, if it's just a matter of that the father doesn't like one of the wives, that's not, the Torah doesn't even have to tell us that because of that you shouldn't be able to take away the Bechor's rights. You wouldn't even need a pasuk to tell you that. So the pasuk must be talking about a case where there is in fact something wrong with the parents' relationship, and still the Torah is telling you, still the child is a bechor. So ela ahuva ben Yisrael, snua ben Yisrael. So we have to say that we have to say that ahuva and snua means regarding the marital relationship. So there's the marital relationship, which is ahuva, which Hashem likes that kind of relationship, and the kind which is snua, the kind which Hashem hates. Namely, Hashem said an aser, and nevertheless was still saying it is considered a marriage. So therefore, so snua would be where there was an avera, namely chai v'lavin. Tosfos points out, if it was just a matter of why don't we say that it means that the mother herself is a tzadekis or a shas? So Tosfos says, look, I mean, because the way the pasuk phrases it, that he has shtei noshim, ha'achas ahuva va'achas snua, implies that the ahuva and the snua have to do with the marital relationship. So if it was that she was a Rashas, then she was a Rashas before that as well. So therefore, the Torah wouldn't phrase it that way. And Tosfos Yishonim adds also, of course, you can't say just because the mother is a Rashas, but therefore the child, we should even think that the child, the Bechor, should lose his portion. Obviously not. So therefore, we're left with what the Gemara said, that we're talking about that the marriage itself is beloved or hated, namely that it's Osir or Mutter. And we're saying that even when the marriage was Osir, so namely, we're talking about Chai V'Lavin, nevertheless, it's still considered a marriage, Lahalofa, and the child is considered his child for all purposes. So therefore, applying that now to the case of a sister, you can't say that if the sister was born from Chai V'Lavin, that she shouldn't be considered your sister. It doesn't work that way. There are a couple of the achronim, such as like Sabva Kabbalah, point out that actually you have a remez to this in the pasuk that we're talking about somebody whose marriage is possible, but no, is it not possible, that there's something wrong, that there's a flaw in the marriage, and nevertheless the marriage is kosher. In that, the pasuk continues after it sets up the case where you have ha'achas ahuva va'achas snua. Later on in the pasuk, it says v'hoya bena b'chor la'snia. So it changes the word snua to snia, where the word snia is almost more like a noun, unlike snua, which would be more like a verb, the one who is or an adjective, the one who is hated. Snia is almost like an abstract noun meaning hate. So we see, in other words, we're talking about where the marriage itself is based on hate, in other words, based on something that Hashem hates, and nevertheless, we're still saying it is considered a valid marriage, and the child is considered the valid b'chor. So v'omer achmana kisiyena. So even though she's snua ben Yisrael, the pasuk still calls it kisiyena, that both of them are married to the same man. Where tiyena, the word havaya, always refers to kiddushin. So it means that kiddushin are tofus, even though it's snua. Okay, the Gemara says the aim of prat l'chai v'krisus. So maybe say that, again, we're still trying to figure out what Bas Eishes Avicha is doing according to Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda. So maybe say that it teaches us that only if she's the daughter of a woman, so we're saying that, we said that it's only if she's the daughter of a woman who could have been your father's wife, then she's considered your sister. We said as opposed to a goiter or a shifcha. So how do you know? Maybe it means as opposed to chai v'krisus. So if, let's say, for example, So we would say, in other words, that if, for example, Reuven has relations with Rachel, who was an erva to him, and they have a daughter, then that daughter wouldn't be, because Rachel is an erva, and there's kares involved, maybe, and after all, they wouldn't have been able to get married. So therefore, maybe we would say that it means that their daughter is not considered their daughter, and therefore she's not considered your sister, and that's what the Torah is telling you, is telling you that she's not an erva to you. Amar Rava. So Rava says you can't say that because Omakra, because the earlier pasuk says Ervas Achos Chabasavicha Oibasimecha. The earlier pasuk says the erva of your sister who is the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother. Meledes Bayis Oy Meledes Chutz. Whether she's born in the house or whether she's born outside the house. Now what does that mean? Bayis or Chutz. Bein Shoimim Loila Avicha Kayim. We're talking about whether she's the kind of woman where the marriage is such that we can tell the father, go ahead, stay married to her. Or whether we're talking about that we tell the father, send her away, you're not allowed to be married to her. Either way, the pasuk is saying that she's your sister. So therefore, you have to say, so even if it was chai v'krisus, even if Reuven, for example, married his mother or his own sister or whatever, and we tell him, you have no business being married to her, she's an erva to you, nevertheless, the Torah is telling us that 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 their child is still considered their child, and therefore that she'd be considered your sister. Now, why don't we go back and say then that then we didn't need that then we could just as well say that that it's about Chayvei Lavin. So Tosfos Hashanim says we already had a previous pasuk Kisiyena. We already had a previous pasuk Kisiyena about them. Other Rishonim add also that the word hoitze can mean, in other words, that we tell him not just you. The fact is, we know with chayve krisis kedushin are not toifas. It's not even we tell him you have to divorce her. We tell him hoitze, get her out of your house. You're not even considered married. So as opposed to chayve lavin, where at least they are considered married, we said kedushin are toifas, and he would need to divorce her. Here we're saying beyond that. We tell him hoitze, like all you need to do is send her out of your house. You don't even need a get because kedushin weren't toifas. Therefore, we're talking about chayve krisis. So the Torah still says that she's considered your sister, even though she was born from Chayve Krisis. So what about L'rabbis Achosim M'shivcha V'Avedes Kechavim? So what about, V'Amarachmana Achoscha, and the Pasuk says she's your sister. Now the question is, why don't we say He L'rabbis Achosim M'shivcha V'Avedes Kechavim? So maybe the word He comes to include that even if she's your sister from a goita, or from a shivcha, or from a goita, still should be considered your sister. How do you know that not? The answer is Amakra Basa Eshes Avicha. After all, the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to marry the wife of the daughter of your father's wife, meaning, as we said before, Mishi Eshle Ishus La Avicha, only if your father could have a marital relationship with her, Ishus La Avicha Ba, Trap La Chosim Eshivcha Reveres Kechavim, as opposed to when it's a sister from a Shivcha or a Goita. So, in other words, so we're saying that we have a Ribui. And we have a miut, so we're applying the ribui when she was born from Chayve Krisus, and we're applying the miut when she was born from a shivcha or a goita. So the Gemara says, Amara Isa, well then what makes you say, given that we have a ribui, that there's someone that you wouldn't have expected is called your sister, and nevertheless she is, and you have somebody else that you would have expected is and isn't, what makes you say to apply it in that way? Maybe the other way around, maybe a sister from a shivcha or a goita is considered a sister, but a shivcha from or a sister from Chayve Krisus is not. The answer is Mistabra, Chayve Krisus, Havalei L'Rabbis. It's more logical to include the case of Chayve Krisus, she can't tapsi behind Kedushin La'alma. Because after all, fine, she's Reuven's sister or mother or what have you, any one of the 20 or so Arayas that are also to Reuven, fine. But on the other hand, so Kedushin aren't Topis between them, but Kedushin would be Topis between this woman and other men who aren't related to her. So therefore, it's more logical to say that even though in this case, the relationship we had that she had was with somebody that is a chiyuv kares, where she's an erva. Nevertheless, since kedushin are able to be chal on her with other people, then she's still included in the category of that. Then it's still considered that a child from her is still considered in the category of your sister. So the Gemara says, "Adrabas shivcha v'avedes kechavim havelei l'rabbis." On the contrary, you could argue that you include a shivcha or a goita. The imigaira, because after all, if she converts, if she becomes a giyoris, the didei nami taxi ba kedushin, then he'll be able, then kedushin will be able to be toifest with him himself. So like this, in other words, for example, Reuven's mother is forever off limits to him. Reuven's shivcha, on the other hand, if he frees her, then she becomes a full bas yisrael, and then he himself would be allowed to marry her. So why don't we say that one is stronger? And the answer is b'chim agayra guf achrinah. The answer is that if she converts, then she's considered like a new guf, like we said, like we learned yesterday. Gerushin is gayra kekartin shener l'dam. So then they're considered like a new person. So it's not that before she was also to you and now she's also to you. The she who was there before is gone, and now there's a new she. That's not the same thing. So less logical to assume that it's talking about her. Okay, now all of that was according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. So ultimately we're saying Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda is learning from the words bas eshes avicha that if you have a sister from a goita or from a shivcha, then it's not considered your sister. Even if that sister later on is nisgaya, then in principle you would be, at least on a daraisa level, you would be allowed to marry her. She's not considered related. Dirabbanan, maybe not. Anyway. So, where are the Chachamim learning this concept that a sister or any child, that any child or any sibling from a Shifcha or a Goita is not considered part of your family, is not considered related to you? Where do they know that from? Given that they're using the word Bas Eishes Avicha to teach us that if a man has relations with a sister who's also the daughter of his married parents, then he's chayev two chatois, one because she's his sister and one because she's bas eishes avicha. So where do they learn that a sister from a goita or a shifcha is not considered a sister? So nafka lehu mi ha'isha v'yiladeh ki yiladeh ne'ah. So they learn it from, we said yesterday, because the Torah tells us by an eved ivri that his master is allowed to give him a shivcha knanis to have children with her, and when he goes free after the 6 years or after yovel, as the case may be, then we say the woman and her children belong to her master, meaning that the children follow her. So we see that it follows her. So they say that applies equally well to a shivcha or a goita. They say you don't need a separate pasuk for a goita. The same thing that applies to her also applies to one also applies to the other. So for Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda, so what about according to Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda? He would say chad b'shivcha v'chad b'averes kechavim v'tzrichi. He would say that actually you need two different pesukim. One to teach us that a child of a shivcha is considered her child, not yours, and the other one to teach us that the child of a goita is considered her children, not yours, with tzrichi, and we need both of them. You couldn't have learned one from the other. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would say, if we were only told about a shivcha, that's the case, you would... you have the famous expression Am Hadoyim Lachamur. You have by the Akedah when Avraham tells them Shvulachan Po Imachamur, and we learn that Imachamur means Am Hadoyim Lachamur, that they're similar to a donkey. Just like with a donkey, you don't pay attention to who its parents were. The same way with the shivcha, you don't pay any attention to who the parents were. In the sense that they're not considered to be their parents' children lahalacha. Whereas Rashi says, on the other hand, a goita would in fact, if she, a full-fledged goita, wouldn't, or goi, would be considered their father's child. You find psukim that refer to goyim by their father's names. So you see, we're talking goyim who were regular goyim, not avodim or shvachas. So you see that they're called by their father's names. So a shivcha has no yichus. So you would say, therefore, that's why you would say that the children are not considered his, because you would say, look, they're not even considered hers. But when it comes to a regular goita, where there is chayis, the children are considered her children, so you would think maybe they're considered yours as well. You would think that maybe not. On the other hand, if we only had a pasuk by a goita saying that a child from her is not considered your child, you would say mishum d'le shaycha b'mitzvahs. The reason is because she doesn't have any mitzvahs. Okay, she has seven mitzvahs neinoyach, but she doesn't have any of the mitzvahs that apply. She doesn't have any mitzvahs from the, any Jewish mitzvahs. In other words, Aval shivcha the shaycha the mitzvahs, but a shivcha, after all, is some mitzvahs are applicable to her. A shivcha, just like an eved, is chayev in all mitzvahs that a Jewish woman is chayev in. We learned it not so long ago in Chagiga. So since she's shaykh in some mitzvahs, amaloi, so you would think that maybe not. Maybe the children are considered your children, tzricha, and therefore we need both psukim, says Rabbi Yosi ben Yehuda. Okay, but Rabbanan, what are the Chachamim answer to that? They say, Ashkechon Shivcha, after all, I mean, isn't that a valid logic? You do need two psukim, you can't learn one from the other. So before we were saying the Chachamim are learning from a Shivcha, where it says, Ho'isha v'ladeh, t'yoladeh neha. But the fact is, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda has a good point. You can't necessarily learn a goit from it. as we just said. So Ashkechon Shikha. So we find a clear pasuk that says that by a shifcha that her children are considered avadim, and that's why we said they remain with the master and they belong to him. What would they say? Where do we learn that a goita, that her children are considered hers but not yours? You're going to say you learn from a shikha. You can't hanu mitzrach tzrichi. We just said that you need both psukim because a shifcha has no chayis and a goy does. So just because you find by a shifcha that the children are not considered yours doesn't necessarily mean by a goy. So Amar Rav Yechonon, Mishum Rav Shimon, Ben Yechai, there's a different source that the Chachamim say where we learn that the child of a goita is considered a goy. We learned this also at the end of the previous parak. Omakra, we said the pasuk says that don't allow the pasuk says don't allow your children bita loisika loisischatin bam bita loisikin libnoi or bita loisikak libnecha. Don't intermarry with the goyim. Don't allow your son to don't allow your daughter to marry his son. Don't allow your son to marry a goy's daughter. And the pasuk continues ki yosu es bin chame achrei. The pasuk says he will remove your son from following me. So we learn like this. The fact that it says ki yosir and not ki sasir, even though the previous pasuk was talking about two different relationships, a Jewish man marrying a goita or a Jewish woman marrying a goy, the next pasuk continues talking about only one of them, ki yosir, that he will remove your son from following me. So in other words, so we parse out the pasuk like this, Rashi explains. We say, what's going to happen? If you allow your daughter to marry a goy, then what happens is he, meaning your goyish son-in-law, is going to remove your son, meaning your grandson, that, like this, your daughter is going to have a son. His father, the goy, is going to remove him. Me'acharei is going to remove him from serving Hashem because he's going to raise him as a goy. And that's a problem because this is a Jewish kid. But we don't say the other way around. We're not saying right? We're not saying that if your son marries a goita, then she, the goita, will cause your son to be removed from following Hashem. Why not? Because there's nothing to be removed. He's a goy anyway. So therefore we see that whether the child is a Jew or a goy depends on the mother. That's how Rashi learns it. At the end of the previous parak, where we also had this limud, Tosfos explained it differently. That what it means is that Tosfos had explained that the key yosir that he will remove refers to the father-in-law, refers to the goyish father-in-law. So in other words, what's going to happen is that Tosfos learns that what happens is if your son marries a goita, then ki yosir, the result is that he, the father-in-law, is causing that your child is removed from after me, meaning, in other words, your son married his daughter, and the result is that the children are goyim, and that comes about through the fact that she was the daughter of her father who was a goy. As opposed to, therefore, so we're saying, it doesn't say ki yosir es bitcha. It doesn't say that he will remove your daughter me'achrei, because the point is, in other words, that the daughter's children are going to be considered Jews. So you can't say the relationship with the goy has caused anybody to be removed from the category of being a yid. Tosfos brings another way over there of understanding. The point is that we doubt from this pasuk that it goes according to the mother. So we learn, bincha mi Yisraelis kori bincha, your child from a Jewish woman is called your son, ve'en bincha abomina ve'es kachavim kori bincha elabna. But if you have a child from a goita, then we're saying it's not called your son, it's called her son, and therefore it doesn't mention anything about ki yosir es bincha in that case. So Ravina says, Ravina says, by the way, Shmamina ben bitcha bomina obikichovim kore bincha. You see from this, that if a yid's daughter has a relationship with a goy and has a son, that child is still called Bincha, is still called your son. And we're saying, in other words, that the Torah is warning that what's going to happen is his goyish father, or his goyish father and his goyish grandparents are going to end up removing him from Torah and mitzvahs. They're going to end up raising him as a goy, which is wrong because he's a yid. So the Gemara says, if Ravina is using the expression that he's called Bincha, Lema Kasava Ravina, does that mean that Ravina holds Ovid Kachavim Ve'Evid Abbab Ach Yisrael Havlad Kosher? Does that mean that Ravina is saying that if a Goy or an Evid has relations with a Bas Yisrael, the child is considered kosher? Which is in fact going to be a machloikas later on in Or Masechta, in the fourth paragraph. We're going to deal with that question of whether the child is kosher or not. The fact that Ravina is saying that he's called, that it's called Bincha, seems to imply that he's kosher. And the answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Nihi de mamzer lehavi, kosher nami lehavi. You could say, the child is not necessarily considered a mamzer, which we're going to have an opinion later on when we discuss it in, on Daf Mem Hey, there is going to be an opinion that such a child is considered a mamzer. We can answer that a point that not necessarily is the child considered a mamzer, because a mamzer would only be from Chayve Krisus, and with a goy and a yid, there's no chayvik krisus. It's osur, of course, and then the Rambam says it's a very serious isur. But the Gemara mentions elsewhere that there's what's called koris medivrei kabbalah. The Nevi'im talk about the idea of there being koris involved over there, but it doesn't say it in the Torah. So we would say the child's not a mamzer, but he's also not kosher nami loyhavi. He's not completely kosher either. Yisrael posel mikri. You would say he's considered a Yisrael who's posel. Where the implication of that would be, Pasul in particular, would be that if it's a girl, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So you have now actually the Rambam seems to learn not like that. He seems to say that the Gemara is just mentioning this as part of the argument, but it's not necessarily accepted lahalacha. But most of the other Rishonim disagree, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The daughter of a goyish father and a Jewish mother is considered posel l'kohuna. So even though this girl is a yid for all purposes, nevertheless she's posel l'kohuna. And if she marries a kohen, then Beis Din will force them to get divorced. So that's what it means, Yisrael posel. Tosfos discusses over here more of the ins and outs, whether we would say that the child maybe is considered a mamzer, but again we're saying over here that we're calling him posel, but not a mamzer. Okay, so the Gemara asks, "Hi, b'shiva umisksiv." This pasuk that we're quoting, "Ki yosef bin chamei acharei," is talking about in connection with the seven nations of Canaan. So there we're saying, don't allow your child to marry one of them, and if they do, ki yosef bin chamei acharei. So we can learn that if a Jewish man or a Jewish woman has a relationship with a goy from the seven nations, then we can talk about whether the child is considered yours or not. But what about all the other goyish nations in the world? And the answer is ki yosef the rabbis kol ha-mesirim. The answer is, when the pasuk says ki yosef es bin chamei acharei, he will turn away your child, meaning, as we said, according to Rashi, we're talking about that, your grandson, the goyish father, or according to Tosfos, it can mean the grandfather, will cause the child to turn away from Hashem. L'rabbis, kol ha-masirim, it comes to include all the other goyim, because they're the same thing. They're all going to remove the child from following Hashem. They're all going to teach him goyish ways. They're all going to help raise him as a goy. So it doesn't matter if seven nations or not. So the Gemara says, Hanicha l'Rav Shimon, that works out nicely according to Rav Shimon. The Dardash Taima Dekra, we find throughout Shas that whenever possible, Rav Shimon always looks at the reason behind the mitzvah and uses that to determine the parameters of the mitzvah. Rashi gives a classic example from Bava Metzia, where the Torah tells us, Lo Sachvel Beged Almana, you're not allowed to take the clothing of an almana as a mashkin. So Rav Shimon looks into why should an almana be different than anybody else. So we're talking about, evidently, that we're talking about where the din applies that you have to return the mashkin every day or every night because the poor person needs it. So now, if she's an almana and you're visiting her every day or every night to return the mashkin and then to pick it up again, then after a while, people are going to start talking and people are going to thinking that you're having some kind of illicit relationship with her. So therefore, Rav Shimon says, if she's rich and she doesn't need the mashkin on a day-to-day basis, then there'd be no problem taking a mashkin from her. So we see that Rav Shimon darish time of dekra, whereas the Chachamim disagree and say that it doesn't matter. So by the same token, Rav Shimon would be saying that ki yosir means that any goy who would cause that your child or grandchild is going to be removed from serving Hashem, is going to be raised, and then is going to be raised as a goy, is a problem. So then that would apply equally well to the seven nations and to anybody else. But elo l'rabbanan menolahu, what about according to the Chachamim who don't hold of time of dekra? So where would they learn that it applies to all the nations? In fact, Rashi says there's a Gemara in Chulin that tells us that the goyim who live in other places outside Eretz Yisrael are not so fanatical about their Avodah Zarah. Their Avodah Zarah is mostly a matter of habit that they were raised that way. So maybe not necessarily are they going to be so fanatical as to make sure that any of their descendants are going to worship Avodah Zarah. So how do you know? The answer is, man tana de poligale de Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. The answer is, you know what? This entire sugya, we've been talking about Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, and we've been talking about the Chachamim. You should know who are the Chachamim who disagree with him is Rav Shimon. So therefore, so Rav Shimon is the one who says that we learn from Ki Yosir as bin Chameach, right? And that applies equally well to all goyim, the time of the Krah. Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda, instead, who he would represent the opinion that says that Loida Shin and time of the Krah, fine, but he would say instead you learn it from instead you learn it from Bas Eishes Avicha. So therefore, so according to everybody, we have something to tell us that the child of a goyta follows the mother, and the child of a goy and a Jewish woman also follows the mother, and therefore the yid. And as we just said, that the child is lahalocha, we consider the child to be not a mamzer, but rather posel. But we are going to have opinions later on in the Masechta that say that the child is a mamzer. So we'll get back to that. On Daf Mem Hei. All right. So now we're going to resume with topics involving Yibum and Chalitza. So the Mishnah says, Misha kiddush achas mishtei achoyos. Suppose a man was mekadosh one of two sisters. He doesn't know which one he was mekadosh. So now he's obviously osur to marry either one of them because he doesn't know because after all, achos isha, the sister of his wife is osur to him as long as his wife is alive. So he's not going to be able to marry either one of them. So therefore, noisim get lazu, v'get lazu. So he has to give a get to each one of them. That particular din is not part of Hilchos Yibum per se. We're just mentioning that as an introduction to what happens after that. How does that impinge on Chalitza and Yibum? Mess. Suppose now this guy dies, v'loy och echad, and he has one brother, cholot l'shteyan, so that brother is going to have to do chalitza to both of them. Presumably, one of them is his yavama, but he can't do yibum with either one of them because he can't do yibum first because she might be his yavama or she might be the sister of his yavama. And he also can't do chalitza with one and then marry the other one because achos chalutzase is also derabanan. So you have either way he's either one of the women is achos zikukasa, is the wife of his zikuka, or achos chalutzase, and either way those are both osir, and therefore so he can't do yibum with either one of them. Necessarily he's gonna have to do chalitza for both of them. What happens if the brother who did this, who was Makadish on a suffix, had two brothers? Then one of them first does Chalitza, and then the other one, if he wants, can do Yibum, because then no matter what, we've covered all our bases. If she's his Yivama and the other one was not, so we have the two women, Rachel and Leah, their sisters. If Rachel was the Yivama, And Shimon, so we have Reuven had been Makadosh, one of these two women, Rachel or Leah. He died. Now he has two brothers, Shimon and Levi. So once Shimon does Chalitza with Rachel, for example, then we've covered all our bases. Either Rachel was the Yavama, and then Leah is not, and then any of the brothers can marry Leah, or Rachel wasn't the Yavama, and in that case, then her Chalitza was nothing, and then Leah is the real Yavama, and fine, he can do Yibum with her. So no matter what, there's no Achos Kukasai, The reason why you need chalitza first, the reason you need chalitza first is in order to take away the zika. If you were to have one of them does yibum first, then the problem is that she might be the zikuka, she might be the yibama, but she might be a chos zikuka, so she might be the sister of the zikuka. So therefore, we have to have one of them does chalitza first to take care of that problem, and then once that's done, then we can say that no matter what, the third brother can marry the other sister if he wants, because either it's yibum or it's just a regular marriage. And the Mishnah continues, Kodmu v'konsu, what if the two brothers went and married the two women? Ein mitzian miyodem, then Beis Din does not force them to get divorced, because each one has a valid claim where he can say, the one that I married is in fact the Yavama. So we don't have enough evidence to say that the woman they married was Osir, and therefore we don't force them, and after all, the issue of Achos Kukosa, and Achos Chalutzosa would be only Dirabanan, so therefore we don't force them to get divorced. In fact, Rashi says, even if we were to know eventually that the first one who got married, that she wasn't the Yavama, but rather that she was the sister of the Yavama, still, so yes, she was also at that time, but eventually his brother went and married the other one, that now retroactively takes away the Zika, and therefore makes that after all, retroactively, the first marriage was kosher. So therefore, ein mitzian miyodem. Continues the Mishnah, Shnayim Shekidshu Shtei Achoyos. Now, what if we have two brothers who did this? Two brothers were Makadish two sisters. Ze'en Yedei Eze Kiddush, Ze'en Yedei Eze Kiddush. Neither one knows which one he was Makadish. So here we start having diagrams. In Mada Yavamas, we can look at diagram 134 on page 59. So we have Reuven and Shimon. To start with, there are two pairs of brothers. You have Reuben and Shimon, and you have Moshe and Aaron. So from each pair, one of them, in this example, we have over here Shimon and Aaron, were Makadish the two women, Rachel and Leah, but we're not sure which one was Makadish which. Was Shimon Makadish Rachel and Aaron Leah, or vice versa? So now, Zenos and Shnegitin, Zenos and Shnegitin. So when there's no Chalitza or Yibum involved, it would mean that each one of them would have to give two Gitin, because we don't know whether Shimon is Makodesh to Rochel or to Leah, so therefore he's going to have to give each of them a get. And the same way, Aaron is going to have to give each of them a get. Mesu, what happens if Shimon and Aaron die? Lazeh och, and each one has one brother. Then, similarly, Zecholeth the Shteim, then each one has to do Chalitza with both of them. Reuben is going to have to do chalitza with both Rachel and Leah. Now the problem is here we can't say, similar to in the first part of the Mishnah, we can't say that he can do chalitza with one and then marry the other one, because the other one would be then the other one it might be achos chalutzasa. It might be it's a valid yibum, because for example, when Reuben comes to marry, conceivably, it might be that Rachel was the let's say Reuben does chalitza to Rachel. The diagram is not really well laid out over here. Usually, an X over a name means that he died, but here it's Shimon and Aaron died, not Reuben and Moshe. Anyway. If Reuben, let's say, does chalitza with Rachel, so there are two possibilities. It might be that Rachel was his Yavama, that she was, in fact, Mekudesh to Shimon. Well, then Rachel, then Leah is Achos Chalutzasa, which is also Medirabanan. On the other hand, it might be that Rachel was not Mekudesh to Shimon, and in that case, Leah is, and in that case, then the chalitza that Reuben does with her is nothing, so then Leah is fine for him, but we don't know that, and therefore we can't allow him to do Yibum with her. So each one has to do chalitza with both of them. Neither one can do Yibum. What happens in the next scenario? What happens if one of the brothers who did this, one of the brothers who did this kedushin misafik, maybe actually in the diagram, so let's say, for example, in the following diagram, one of the brothers who did this, so Shimon, let's say, has one brother, and the other one who did this, say Aaron, has two brothers. Then the single brother has to chalitza to both of them, and there's no way that he can do yibum with either one of them. As far as the side where there are two brothers, so for example, Aaron's side, echad chalitza, echad miyabim, one should do chalitza, and then the other one could do yibum for the same reason as before, because once one of them has done chalitza, then either the one that he did chalitza with was in fact the yavama, and then that took away the, that takes away the zika, and now the other one can marry her, or she was in fact the yavama, and then the other one is allowed to marry her. So either way, again, we've covered all our bases. And again, if they went and married the both of them, then we can't force them to get divorced, because for the same reason as before, each one can argue that I did the valid yibum, and her sister is not the yavama. And we don't have anything to disprove that. And in fact, as we said before, as Rashi said before, the fact is that even if one of them had married the Isser, but as soon as his brother marries the other one, and thereby does Yibum, then that Isser goes away retroactively. Another example, the next diagram, on page, the next diagram, 136, suppose that each of them has two brothers. So then what you have is one brother from each side has to do chalitza with one of the women. Then the brothers from each side can do yibum with the one who the other one did chalitza, because when we look at the diagram, then it becomes a little easier to understand. So we're talking about over here again, Reuven and Moshe, two unrelated men, had been Mekadosh these two women, Rachel and Leah, and we don't know which one was Mekadosh which one. So if, let's say, for example, Shimon does Chalitza with Leah, so now Elazar from the other family would be allowed to marry her, because no matter what, if she was in fact the Yavama, and Shimon did valid chalitza with her, well, now she's a yavama who did chalitza. The zika is over. Now she can marry anybody she wants. And if on the other hand she wasn't lekudish to Reuben, but rather to Moshe, then the chalitza was nothing, because Shimon's chalitza is not the chalitza of a brother-in-law. Well, then Elazar is doing yibum with her because she was the wife of his brother Moshe, and vice versa. So therefore, so that once from each side a chalitza is done, then from the other side they can marry this woman. If both brothers on one side went and did chalitza, if they jumped the gun, so let's say, for example, both Shimon and Levi, Reuben's brothers, both went and did chalitza to both Rachel and Leah, lo yabm washnayim. Then at that point, the other two brothers should not be doing yibum, because again, you might have maybe she was Reuben's wife, maybe she wasn't, and then you have the problem of a chosikukasei. Ella echad chalitz ve'echad miyabim. You would still need from that other side, for example, Aaron and Elazar, that first one of them is going to do chalitza, and then the other one is able to do yibum. And then, as we said, we've covered all our bases. Again, kodmu v'konsu. If they did in that case, those last two, they went and married these women without coming and asking them to base it, then again, in mitzi miyadam, we don't force them to get divorced, because we only have the suffix of a chosikuka. And that's not reason enough to force them to get divorced, given that a chosikuka itself is dirabanan, and a suffix in it is not reason enough to cause problems. So the Gemara says, By the way, Tosfos mentions in this connection that only because it's suffered of a chosikul kase. If it was definitely a chosikul kase, then we would say that even v'di'evad, we would require them to get divorced. So the Gemara says, Shmamina kedushin she'en mesurim l'biyah, have a kedushin. Now, we have a machlokas in the sechta kedushin. Suppose that you have a case of kedushin that is never going to be able to come to biyah. Namely, for example, a case similar to our Mishnah. Suppose a man was Makadish two sisters, and we're not sure which one he was, and the fact is he can't be married to two sisters, so therefore it's not possible to do Bia with them, because either each one is going to be an Erva because her sister was Makadish. And Kedushin She'en Masurim Levia, it sounds like from our Mishnah, Havel Kedushin. It sounds like there are valid Kedushins, and we're talking about them having to give a get, and we're talking about Chalitza and Yibum and so forth. So it sounds like the actual Kedushin were valid. Which is in fact a Machlokas, Abaya and Rava is a Machlokas, Abaya and Rava in Kedushin. Now the Halacha does end up being that it is considered Kedushin. That's Abaya's opinion. That's one of the six cases, Yahukagam, where the Halacha is like Abaya. But nevertheless, the fact is, that Rava knows of our Mishnah, so how could that be? So the answer is Hocha Mayaskin Kishahukru Vasaikin Saru. Our Mishnah is talking about the case in Kedushin is talking about over there where to begin with there was no way of knowing which one he was Makadish. For example, he went over to two sisters and said, I'm Makadish one of you, and it's not clear which one. As opposed to here, he's talking about Shahukru or Vasaikin Saru. Here we're talking about to begin with he knew which one he had been Makadish, but then afterwards he forgot. And he forgot, and now we're not sure which one he was Makadish. So now that's different. That's not Kedushin Shalonim Sirul Bia. At the time he did the Kedushin, perfectly well, it would have eventually led to Bia. Later on, now we're mixed up, and we don't know whether he ended up, whether it was her or her sister. Like Moshe says, Dekanami. In fact, we see that from the words of the Mishnah, the Katani Ve'eni Yadeya, because the Mishnah says he doesn't know, but like Katani Ve'eni Yadua. It doesn't say it is not known. It is not known would imply that it was never known from the beginning. He doesn't know implies that conceivably it was known at one point, and conceivably somebody else could come and bring evidence, but right now we don't have it. So that proves it. So the Gemara says my Kamash Malon. So in that case, then in that case, then what's the chiddush? Obviously, at the beginning of the Mishnah, he's going to need to give a get to each one. In other words, if we said that the Mishnah was addressing the matter of Kedushin Shalanim Sir Labia, then it would be that the Mishnah is telling us like Abaya's opinion, not Rava's. But now that we're saying that there's a difference between our case and the case that Abaya and Rava are talking about, then what is the Chiddush of the first line of the Mishnah? And the answer is safer, it's Trichalei. The Chiddush is the next part of the Mishnah where it says, Mes v'loy och echad, that if this guy dies, now when we're not sure which of the women he was Makadish, and he has one brother, that he has to do Chalitza with both of them, and that the Mishnah continues, Hoyloy Shnayim, that if he had two brothers, Echad Chalitza, Echad Miyabim, one does Chalitza and the other one does Yibum, and the Chiddush is it has to be Davka in that order, Davka Michlat v'hadu Yibum. First, he has to do chalitza. Only then can he do yibum. Only then can the other one rather do yibum. Avo yabumi b'reish shaloi. But the one who wants to do yibum, he can't do that first. He can't do that. Dukkakoga b'achos tikkukaser, because this woman might be the sister of his skoka. So when in the Mishnah we say that if they were miyabim, we don't force them to get divorced. But b'hatchila, we don't want to allow that. So we don't want him to allow him to do yibum first. So if the other brother does chalitza, then as we said, we've covered all our bases, because either that chalitza releases the zika, and now her sister is mutter to him, is mutter to the other brother, because he didn't do chalitza with her, or the first sister with bechlal not the yavama, and the chalitza with her is meaningless, and then he's doing yibum with her, and then he's doing yibum with her sister, the way it's supposed to be. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, the fact that you have to do chalitza first, that one brother has to do chalitza first, and only then can the other brother do yibum. Then we said in the Mishnah had continued, Shnayim Shkidshu Shtei Achoyes Chola, that if we had two unrelated men who were Makadish two sisters, and we talk about the scenarios over there. So first we said that each one needs to give the two women two gittin, that each one needs to give a get to each of the women. So again, Shmamina Kedushin Shein Nesurim Labia Haba Kedushin. Again, does that mean that we're saying this is another example of Kedushin Shalanim Sur Labia? Because if we assume that the Mishnah is talking about where to begin with, where to begin with the Kiddushin were unclear. In other words, that, for example, so Reuven and Moshe had gone over to these women, Rachel and Leah, and said that we are Mekadesh, that each, if I am Mekadesh, one of you, then we don't know which one was Mekadesh, either one, and the Mishnah is implying that those are Kiddushin, which again is according to Abayim, not according to Rava. And it sounds like they're Kiddushin, because the Mishnah says they need to give Gittin. And the answer is Hachanamik, Shehukru, the Sofnis out. Okay, so here also we're talking about not where they didn't know to begin with, but rather where to begin with they knew, and then afterwards it got mixed up. And again, Dekanamika Katani Enyodea, but like Katani Enyodua, again, because it says Enyodea, implying that he doesn't know, rather than Enyodua, it is not known, which would imply that there was a suffix right from the beginning. So Shmamina. Well, my Kamash Malon. Well, then what's the Chiddush of that part of the Mishnah? Again, if we say that the Mishnah is not even addressing the Machlokas Abaya and Rava, then obviously even Rava would agree in such a case that the Kiddushin were originally valid, and then therefore that you have to give a get to each one. And again, the answer is Sefer, it's Tzrichalei, the Kiddush is the Sefer, Mesu, that if the two men die, Lozeh Echad, Lozeh Shnayim, and one has one brother and one has two brothers, Hayochid Cholot L'Shtein, that the one brother has to Chalitza to both of them, and he said he has to because there's no way that he can do Yibum with either one of them because either one of them might be the sister of his Skukah, or the sister of his Chalitza, Vashnayim, Echad Chalitz, Vashad Miyabim, but we said as far as the two brothers, one is able to do Chalitza and then the other one is able to do Yibum. Like Marcus Pshita, well, still isn't that obvious? Hainu Reisha. That's exactly the same case as the earlier part of the Mishnah. Once we understand from the earlier part of the Mishnah that when it's one person and two sisters, then automatically we understand it would be the same thing if it's two men and two sisters. What's the difference? And the answer is Maud Tema Ligzer Trei Otuchat. You would have thought in that last case. Maybe we should make a gzera that you can't do that with two brothers because it might be too easily confused with the case of the one brother. Where again, if there was only one brother, we said he has to chalitza to both of them. There's no way that he can do yibum. So we would have thought when there are two brothers, maybe we should say that if too easily confused, if we allow one of them to do chalitza and the other one to do yibum, then by the same token, when there's only one brother, he might think that he can do chalitza and then yibum, or he can think that he can do yibum without chalitza or something like that. And obviously it doesn't work. So Kamash Malon, therefore the Mishnah is telling us that we don't make such a gzera. Now we wouldn't have been able to say that. We wouldn't have been able to see that from the beginning, from the earlier part of the Mishnah, from the Reisha. Because after all, over there, once they're doing chalitza, they're not going to do yibum until, you would have thought that we made a gzera that you might confuse the side that has two brothers and neither one of them should do yibum because after all on the other side you only have chalitza, so maybe you shouldn't allow either of the brothers to do yibum kamash malon, so therefore we say that's not a problem. The dafka michlatz v'hadr yibumi. Now again, it has to be on the side with the two brothers. One has to do chalitza, and only then can the other one do yibum. Avo yibumi b'reish aloi. But again, the brother cannot do yibum first. So there you have a different problem. With the first part of the Mishnah, the problem was that she might actually be achos zikukah. So here the problem is that she might be yivama l'shuk. She might be a yivama who's marrying outside the family. Because the example, the scenario we had was where there's one brother on one side and then two brothers on them, two surviving brothers on the other side. So now if we're saying that if Aaron or Elazar in that example in diagram 135, if either Aaron or Elazar were to do yibum first with either of these women, maybe it would work. Maybe one or the other of these women is their yavama, but maybe not because maybe she was actually Reuben's wife and Reuben is not part of their family, and therefore she still needs chalitza before they require that it requires Shimon and Aaron to do chalitza, because that way we've covered all bases, whichever one, either Shimon or Aaron is her husband's brother, and therefore he's done valid chalitza. Once we've done that, we've taken care of the problem of Yivam al-Ashuk, and now Elazar would be allowed to marry her. And the, okay, so, So the Gemara continues. Lazeshnaim, Lazeshnaim. We said you have another case where each side there are two brothers. So there we said when there are two brothers on each side. So then we said each from each side you need one chalitza, and then from each side you can do one yibum. So ha tu lamali. So what do we need that for? Hainu ha. Isn't that again basically exactly the same as the previous case? And the answer is ma'udatema ligzer dumum yadam. Well, like chalitza, you would think that we should make a zera. What happens if they end up doing yibum without the other one having done chalitza, and then you have a problem that it might be yivam alashuk. And that it might be Yivam al-Ashuk or Achos the Kuka, Kamash Malam, therefore the Mishnah is telling us that you don't have to worry about that. Now, here's where Rashi explains, from the Reisha, you wouldn't have known that, because in the previous case, you have ultimately Chalitza is being done, so therefore, and only one of them is going to do Yibum. So once we're doing chalitza of one, then we're going to remember not to do yibum until chalitza has taken place with both of the women. Here, ultimately, we're doing yibum with both women. So they might be apt to say, well, what do we even need chalitza for? All we need is yibum. So because both of them are going to end up doing yibum with. So why do we even need to bother with chalitza? So therefore, the Mishnah has to stress for us that nevertheless chalitza is required. So the Gemara asks, "My shna mehoditznan." So why is it different than a case that we have later on in the Perek? Al ba'achim, you have four brothers. Shneimem nesuin shnei achoyes. Two of the brothers are married to two sisters. Umesu an nesuin es achoyes, and the ones who are married to the sisters die. Harei lechotz v'leiv nesiyamis. There we say that the women need chalitza, not yibum, because each one is zekuka to each of the brothers, but each one of them is also achoyes zekuka. So over there we say they have to do chalitza. There's no possibility of yibum. So why over here are we saying when you have these two women where there was kedusha suffet from two different men, why are we saying that once chalitza was done from one side, then yibum can be done from the other side? The Gemara says hachi hashta. How do you think to compare the two cases? There's a big difference. Hossam, over there, in the case of the four brothers. Now we learned at the beginning of the parak there's machloikas of whether yesh zika or not. Elam under Amar Yesh Zika, if you say that there is Zika, and if you say that there is Zika, meaning in other words that the Zika is strong enough to make that one of the women is considered as though she's married to one of the brothers, well then her sister is Osir as his wife's sister. So Yesh Zika, so then there is Zika, and then obviously you can't do Yibum with her. If you say that maybe there's not such strong zika, but you're not allowed to do something which is going to cause to be mevatel mitzvah yibamin, then you have the same thing. Because if you marry one of them, what if the other one dies before he has a chance to do yibum? And then there's a problem of a chos isha over here. So therefore, we've done something that causes mitzvah yibamin to be bottled. Whereas over here, kochad v'chad emur didei kamistamulei. Over here, it's very possible that each one ends up with the woman who was supposed to be his yivama. So we can't call that mevatel mitzvah yivamin, because it could very well be that we actually did wind up doing that. Each one did proper yivum. It's possible that not. It's possible that that each one did chalitza to the one who really is a yivama, and now she's going and marrying outside the family. But it's also equally possible that each one is in fact marrying the woman who is in fact a yivama. So we can't really say on that. Also, levatel mitzvah yivamin. Therefore, in our Mishnah, we're allowing it. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, Beth Hashem.